The Jan Price Show, all about movies.
You're listening to The Jan Price Show, all about movies. And today my guest is award-winning filmmaker Doug Prey. Good to see you, Doug.
Good to see you. Thank you.
We were just talking about it. We met about 2 years ago at the Santa Barbara International Film Festival, and we had a nice discussion then and kept in touch. But I'm really excited to talk about this project, which is entitled The Power of Film. I'll get my tongue working here. Which has been on Turner Classic Movies, which is one of my favorite channels, and it's being screened in other places too. So I'm really looking forward to talking about this wonderful series.
Thank you. Yeah, we're glad to have it out. It's been a very long labor of love. It was one of those projects that took something like 8 years.
Wow.
And it was never the main thing because it was something, it's very independent. It's like a handmade series. I made it with Laura Gabbert, who's a fellow filmmaker. She's a documentary filmmaker. And she and I made it for our professor, Howard Suber. I mean, it wasn't like a gift. It was something we really believed in and we loved making it. But it just was one of those things where, how to do it? Let's work with Howard and we'll get all the clips and we'll make it work. And now it's a 6-part series and it's playing on TCM, like you said. And it's on Max because they have what's called the TCM hub. So you can stream it on Max and we're thrilled to have it out.
Well, this is a master class in filmmaking for anyone who loves films and certainly classic films because they're all classics that are in this series. This is the series to watch because you're going to do a true deep dive into the art of storytelling. And Howard Suber, let's talk about him. He was your professor. Mm-hmm. So let's talk a little bit about him because he's wonderful.
It's interesting. If you told somebody like, it's a 6-part series and there's a guy in his 80s and he's going to just be talking, and that's pretty much it. It's just one interview the whole time, and then there's a bunch of movie clips. It sounds like, oh, really? Howard is fantastic and he's captivating and he's brilliant.
Yes.
And he's not talking about the history of film and he's not talking about this actor and that actor and all the stuff that we usually talk about when we look back at movies. He's talking about what makes great movies work. And he's talking about the history of storytelling. It's not unlike Joseph Campbell in the same way Joseph Campbell kind of opened up this idea of, oh, we've been telling the same stories for 20,000 years. Howard does the same thing with movies. He unpacks them and he exposes the inner workings of a movie that in a way that is really powerful. And I think what really grabs students who studied with him, certainly me when I took his class, and people who are now watching the series is this idea that it relates to your life.
Mm-hmm.
He's talking about the reason these stories work. The reason the best movies work is because there is something to do with your life and the way we live life. The betrayals we feel, the loss we feel, the victories we feel, the love we feel, all the different kind of emotions that go into human storytelling. He has a really great way of just saying, well, this is going on in this scene. And the reason the scene works is that this person's here and this person's here. And it doesn't come off as sort of academic pontification. It's not like, everybody knows this. Like he can talk about Aristotle and the Greeks and Shakespeare and everything. It's all in there, but it's really human. It's really simple. And that's why he was a popular professor. Very popular. In fact, he taught for over 53 years.
Wow.
You really think about that. For most professors, I mean, talk about tenure. That's like a serious amount of decades to be teaching at UCLA Film School. And of course, he's professor emeritus now and so forth. But he really, it was a popular class. But everybody would sort of whisper and say, like, look, he kind of goes on and on. It's a long class. It's like 4 hours. But you got to take it. You got to take this class. It was one of those, you better take this class if you think you're going to be a screenwriter. You better take this class if you think you're going to be a director. You better. So he had a reputation and I loved him. And Laura Gabbert, who's, again, she's my producing partner on this film. She was his TA and I was his TA. So we both knew him mm-hmm. really well. And we kept in touch long after we'd graduated from UCLA. And then we really enjoyed putting this together. It was kind of like going to film school all over again.
I can imagine. So how did the project come together? What made you both decide to do this?
Like I said, said, he's just one of these professors that stays in your life. He was a mentor and a friend. Mm-hmm. And my dad was a professor, so I always had kind of a close bond with Howard, just maybe for that reason. We got along really well, and Laura got along with him very well. And he always said that he wanted to do a series with his teaching. He's written some books. In fact, he wrote a book named The Power of Film. And it's a fascinating book, and I recommend it, but it's not what the series is either. I think he always felt frustrated that in writing books, he wasn't able to captivate an audience. He wasn't able to share these kind of inspiring realizations, these epiphanies that he's had over 50 years. And so he always said, I want to do something like, and there were other series that were sort of semi-academic, but also very entertaining. And he just always wanted to do that. And I think he had tried a few times with some other students and just stuff. And it's hard to pull this stuff off, and people get busy. And if it's a favor project, those are always hard because it's like, you were helping me last summer. What happened? Well, I got busy, And Laura and I, we just decided one day, we heard him complaining just enough that we decided, let's really get this done. Let's do this. And let's keep it simple. Let's just film Howard on a soundstage. We use this thing called the Interatron, which frames the person speaking. It's kind of like Zoom. Mm-hmm. Like, you're looking at me right now, but it's like I'm looking at you. It's the same thing. Like, Howard can look straight into the camera lens. Well, he's talking to me. He's talking right at me. So we decided to do that. And then we did 6 days. We shot 6 days on a soundstage. And he and this other TA of his, Joey Sierra, helped him kind of organize his lectures from 50 years. I mean, it's kind of crazy. Wow. That to me was the Herculean task. It was like, okay, Howard, great. We'll film this. You take 50 years of teaching and jam it into 6 lectures. But he did. And he had the book to help him, and he had all of his notes. And he's really good on camera. He's good in the classroom. So we did that. And then the reason it took so many years, it just was a lot of editing. It just took so much editing just to kind of figure out the ins and outs of, okay, we're going to use this movie. We'll use this clip. We can't use too much of it. That's what took years. There were 3 different editors, a guy named Avo Kamborian, who was great, and Philip Owens, who's worked with me on my past films. He took it over at some point, or they both worked for at some point. And then I did the last year and a half, just kind of like fine tuning and doing final edits. And it was a long, long process. And of course, we're juggling other work and stuff because this was not pay. There was no budget. There was no company. There was no executive producer. It was just us. It was just me and Laura and Howard. And we would talk all the time. And Howard was very patient. And he was it was kind of a great process. Now that it's done, I can look back and I can say how wonderful it was. But there were times that it was really hard. That's how it got going. And that's what the process was.
It's kind of like, hey, kids, let's put on a show.
I'm sorry.
I said, it's like,
what'd you say?
I said, it's like, hey, kids, let's put on a show. Like the old movies, Shirley Temple and, our gang.
The funny thing is totally. Yeah. The other funny thing is he's our professor. So when we would get something wrong, which happened a lot, we would edit together a sequence and Howard go, he'd say to us, well, that's not really, he'd give us a B minus. That's not what I was saying. It's not quite right. We need a better clip. We need a better this. And, you've cut out the most important thing in my lecture. So there was a lot of back and forth. He was very, very sweet about it. He was incredibly kind throughout the whole thing. I gotta give him credit for that. He was never an egotistical, what are you doing with my work? He was wonderful. But it was just, but at the same time, we wanted to impress him. He's our professor. It's like, oh my God, I'm going to get a bad grade. I'm like, it's like, I hope he likes this. So we'd show him a 20-minute sequence and say what do you think? But he liked it and he had good notes. And we would go back to him for little voiceovers because a lot of it is voiceover. A lot of them you see on camera, and a lot of times in and around the movies, we would get little voiceover clips. So just audio. So we'd go back to him and say, oh, can you say this more clearly? Or this part takes too long to explain it. We need it in 10 seconds, not 40. So there was a lot of back and forth. That's also just took a long time. It's 6 40-minute episodes, so it's 240 minutes of content, and that's a lot.
That is a lot. How long did the actual shooting take? take of this?
It was really just 6 days. And I think we did it over 3 weeks. So we did 2 days a week for 3 weeks in June of 2018.
Wow.
On a little soundstage that was donated to us. And it was really fun. I mean, I think he enjoyed it. It was fun for him to be, you know, the star for a day and like have makeup. And, you know, I mean, there's nothing fancy. There's something very plain and simple about this project. There's nothing glitzy.
Right.
I was just saying he's a very humble man. And I think people are responding nicely to that.
Yes. Yeah. So who chose what films were going to be in each one of these segments?
It was mostly straight out of Howard's lectures. So, of course, if he's talking about whatever, Boys in the Hood, then we use a Boys in the Hood clip. If he's talking about Bambi, we show, you know, most of it was obvious. But there were a lot of times he would be talking about a concept that may not have an exact, he wasn't talking about that one film, but the perfect example was something we would have to go dig up. We'd have to go find it. And he would help with that. We'd say, man, we need an example of this kind of a pivot, you know, like where a character pivots in the middle of a scene. We need a perfect example of that. So sometimes we would just dig through movies and find a scene and then show it to him and he would give his comments, or he would then retrofit his lecture to address that. But almost, I'd say 90% of it came from him because, I mean, he's the professor. He's the one who knows all the movies. I have to confess, there's plenty of movies in The Power of Film that I'd never seen. Plenty. Because even though I went to film school, it's not like you see every single movie.
Right.
No. You know, there's a lot of movies that I love that are in it, but there's plenty that I hadn't seen. And I was like, oh my God, this is an incredible film. I got to watch this. So sometimes I would just sit there and end up watching a whole movie when I was supposed to be editing. And I'd go, oh my God, great. There's 90 minutes down the tube. Now, what was I looking for?
So no wonder it took so long. Now the truth has come out.
Yeah, but no, it's totally true. It really is.
Well, I know. I just came from the Turner Classic Movie Film Festival, and you know, and they show so many wonderful films, and there's so many the same thing. It's like I've never seen that one, or there'd be movies that have been out forever, you know. And I just I don't know why I didn't go see that movie when it came out originally, but you know, I'm really looking forward to seeing it now on the big screen. So I think that's what this series does too. It makes you want to go exactly what we're talking about. Go look at the film and because let me just go through as you said, 6 parts to it. And the first one is Popular and Memorable. And then we're going to go, the second one was Trapped. Then the third part is Character and Relationships. The fourth part is Heroes and Villains. I really liked that one. And then the fifth one part is The Power of Paradox. And the sixth, which was my favorite, Love and Meaning. So who chose those topics? Was it Howard who decided that those were the topics that he wanted to cover in the 6-part series?
It was a process of, it's just like writing a screenplay, and you kind of start moving stuff around and saying, wait a minute, this, because he would sort of go in 5 to 10 minute chunks, you know, with his lectures, with his ideas. And a lot of those started out being organized into 6 different days, but in the end, we moved a lot of stuff around, and he moved his stuff around too. We'd say, wait a minute, this goes better with this other talk. Let's move this around. Let's put this stuff from episode 1 into 3. So in the end, there was a couple episodes that were much more difficult for us, and a few that just fell perfectly together.
Mm.
So, you know, mostly, but these are different topics. In his book, The Power of Film, it's interesting. It's just an alphabetical book. He literally just did topics alphabetically. So he might talk about the idea of being trapped. Well, there's a chapter on being trapped. He might talk about, you know, romance or like, you know, happy endings or unhappy endings, which is a theme that runs throughout the whole series, is how often so many, you know, we always think about Hollywood movies as having to have a happy ending. It's just so untrue. The vast majority of really popular films actually have a very sad or bittersweet or even flat out tragic, horrible.
Right, right.
So many,
right.
You know?
Yes.
And it's really interesting to kind of, you know, he unpacks that as well. But to answer your question, yeah, it just took a lot of moving around, and we wanted to balance them out. We were going to have 7 episodes, and we realized we really only need 6. and we wanted them to be approximately 40 minutes because that's sort of a good, you know, length for a television episode. And so it all worked out in the end. To this day, there's a few things that I don't know. It's never perfect when you finish anything like this. But the ideas do hold together. And he does, you know, he speaks very eloquently for a good 10 minutes about something, and then it'll pivot into something else and something else. But
did you?
We waited till the very end to name the episodes.
Oh, you did.
Like, well, this one's really much more about love and romance and deeper meaning, and it's a concluding thing, so let's call it Love and Meaning. And so that was one of the last things we did, is name the episodes.
Okay, so you didn't go into it having them already decided as to which part was going to be named.
Not
what?
Really. The themes were decided, not necessarily the names of the episodes. So, it was always called The Power of Film.
It was,
he wanted that.
Right. That part I could, I would, that's the beauty of this title. It's it's got a great title going into it.
Yeah,
exactly. Was it hard? Talk about Unhappy Yet, and I just saw Chinatown again at the film festival, at Turner Classic Movie Film Festival.
Oh my gosh.
Talk about an ending that's
there you go, right?
Very unsatisfying. That's the ending that's like, you go, ah, you know, I forgot how it ended. Very unsatisfying, but yeah. I think that might be in one of these, I'm sure, you know, so I know it's, they're
it
all.
It is. Well, it's, he talks about that, and it's funny, when the series first started showing on TCM, we got a lot of very favorable feedback, which made us really happy. There was a few people who were angry that we were spoiling the endings of films.
Oh, no. You know?
And a part of me was like, listen, I'm sorry. If you don't know Romeo and Juliet, I'm really sorry. But I tell you right now, you know, spoiler alert. You know, so, but it's the study of film. And mm-hmm. you can't really study film and talk about the overall structure of a film if you don't, if you can't spoil some of the stuff. And many of these works are from 50 years ago, 40 years ago, mm-hmm. 80 years ago. Some of them are contemporary. And by the way, on that note, Howard, it was very important that he include modern films. And so I'd say a good quarter of the movies are from this century, from the last 20 years. You know, it's just a little more, his whole thing is popular and memorable. And that's the name of episode one, because episode one is sort of setting up, like, what are we doing here? What are we looking at? And how are we looking at these films? And he's all about, I'm not interested in just box office smashes. And I'm not just interested in things that are really popular, maybe in an academic way or, you know, among critics or, you know, he's not. And it's also not European films mm-hmm. or other or films from other countries. It's very specifically American films, super popular films that were also memorable, that you're still talking about generations later. That's his rule. And so, you know, and there's plenty of other documentaries and plenty of other books, hundreds and hundreds of books written about all the other cool films that we all love. But that's his shtick. That's mm-hmm. his thing. And it was interesting because, you know, we were on Turner Classic Movies, so people just assume that, oh, it's only like movies from the 1930s or 50s or whatever. And it's not really true. He's trying to extrapolate about even some more recent movies that he believes will be popular and memorable. So it's a little bit of a guessing game with some of the newer movies. But, you know, something like Get Out mm-hmm. is a really powerful film. You know, so, I mean, there's a number of modern movies that are just, you know, feel really powerful, that people are, you know, really talked about or couldn't get out of their minds. And so he does do that. But yeah, a lot of them are from the, you know, 70s, 80s, 90s and before.
Well, Turner Classic Movies is also doing that too, with their programming. They are, you know, having more films that are more recent at the film festival and also on the station itself. I've noticed, you know, they had Lincoln. That was 2012. You know, but it's a classic. So there's, you know, it's modern classic versus old, but it was a good mix of lots of wonderful films at the film festival, but also on Turner Classic Movies itself. Now, how did Turner Classic Movies pick this up? How did you approach them? How did this all come about? Oh, you're a little frozen again, hopefully. Okay.
Yeah, then. You froze too just for a second. Yeah. But I heard your question about how did Turner Classic Movies pick this up?
Mm-hmm.
The head of TCM is Charlie Tabish.
Yes, we love him.
He's a great guy.
We love him.
I say that because he, long ago, many years ago, well, maybe 5 years ago, he met with us. And he really liked what we were trying to do. And he couldn't at the time, you know, give us funding or anything else. I mean, he really was supportive, but he couldn't. It wasn't in the cards. And by the way, we hadn't really figured out what this was. So, in fairness to Charlie, he would have been an idiot to fund something that didn't make sense at the time. But the truth is, all these years later, last summer, we were very close to finishing. We had six episodes. And we were able to share it with him. And he was the first person we went to. Because he was now, you know, running TCM. And we went to him and said, hey, Charlie, you're the first person to check this out. We're finally done. I know you can't believe it. Because, you know, he probably figured we'd long ago given up. And we showed it to him, and he just said, I love this. This is exactly the kind of thing that TCM is all about. This is what we want to do. And they also like the idea of having an original series on TCM. And, you know, they run plenty of other documentaries about filmmakers and films. And this just was a very comprehensive view of, obviously, a lot of movies that they honor. I mean, really all the movies they honor. And so it was a really nice fit.
Yeah.
And so they said, we'd like to run this. And I thought that was fantastic. And then they started, the series premiered on January 4th, 2024, just a few months ago. And then on April 1st, it also started streaming on Max through their TCM hub. And so now you can watch it on cable, you can get it, you can stream it, and it's just out, and we're thrilled. And we're also working with an educational distributor named Good Docs, who is carrying the film and will be providing it to schools and universities and, of course, film programs, we hope, everywhere, in libraries and museums and whoever, you know, in the more institutional market, they'll be handling it for that. And we have a guy named Glenn Ackerman who is representing the film for foreign markets and other things like that.
Wonderful. Year. That's wonderful. And it should be seen in all of those arenas. And it is. It's a masterclass in film. And thank you for doing this, you know, being inspired by your professor, Howard Suber, and your co-producer Laura Gabbert and doing this series. It's really a wonderful series, and for anybody who loves film, please seek out The Power of Film. It's, as you said, it's now on Max, and you can see it, and there'll be many other places. Doug, what a pleasure to have you on the show, and good to see you again.
Thank you. It's great to see you again, and I really appreciate you talking about The Power of Film.
Thank you. I look forward to having you back on with your next project.
Okay. Looking forward to it.
Thank you, Jan. Thank you. Have a great day.
To all my wonderful loyal listeners, your love of film allows me to do what I do. If you want to support me, the best way to do that is to hit the subscribe button on the iHeart Podcast Network, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to your favorite podcast. And of course, on YouTube. Subscribing matters. If you are feeling really compelled, I want to hear from you. Have a burning question, comment, or review? Drop me an email at thejanpriceshow.com. Thank you for listening.
The Jan Price Show, all about movies.